coming to you from the Lydia Media Studios in the heart of Lewiston, Auburn. It's Lydia's Lunch Bunch, LA's afternoon morning show with Mark and Sarah. We're covering news and events in the greater LA area and talking to the people making a difference in our community. Feel free to share your comments, questions, or suggestions via email at podcast@lydiamediallc.com.
And today's show is powered by Dubloy Electric, building lasting relationships since 1967. From homes to businesses, their licensed, fully trained technicians handle it all. Repairs, upgrades, standby generators, EV chargers, heat pumps, and more. No job is too big and no job is too small. Learn more at DubloyElectric.com. Also brought to you by Rupert's Beverage and Redemption. When it comes to beer, wine, and spirits, don't botch it, squatch it. At 4 locations in Lewiston, Auburn, and Oxford. Learn more at rupersbeverage.com. And remember, the party starts at Rupert's.
It is a Maine Nordiques Wednesday.
Woo-hoo!
Here in the studio. And we are joined by a pair of forwards. Number 21 in your program, Ryland Oster from Minnesota. How you doing, Ryland?
Good, how are you?
Excellent. Thanks for joining us today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We appreciate you getting up early for us.
Mm-hmm.
And number 44. Forward Dante Rodriguez. How you doing, Dante?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Thanks for being here today. Both of you guys had you had a haul this morning. You're from Hollowell,
yeah.
Right? So, we certainly appreciate you making the drive and being here with us this morning.
Yeah.
As you prepare to hit the road, right? You're
going to Rochester this weekend.
Rochester. Sarah hates Rochester.
I don't like them at all.
Yeah.
They're the worst.
They are the worst.
The absolute worst.
That's a pretty common opinion.
Yeah.
Yeah, no doubt.
They can't skate, so they're just terrible out there.
There you go.
And I said it. You didn't have to say it. I said it.
That's right. Sarah's on record. We are going to talk to Ryland and Dante all about the Maine Nordiques and a whole lot more coming up here in just a bit. But before we do, let's take a look at some headlines for Wednesday, November 19th.
The Maine Public Utilities Commission rejected Central Maine Power's rate hike request. The proposal was part of a five-year workforce and grid investment plan that would raise electricity rates by about $35 per month for the average customer. It would increase the company's revenue by about $400 million.
According to the fuel savings platform Gas Buddy, 60% of Americans are expected to travel this Thanksgiving. That's down 12% from last year. Experts attribute the decline to several factors, including a near-record-low consumer sentiment, a sluggish economy, and the lingering effects of the government shutdown.
The Lewiston Fire Department and Well Health Partners are offering a free car seat safety event. Safety experts will perform car seat checks to make sure your child is riding safely. The event is tomorrow from 2 to 6 p.m. at the Lewiston Fire Department at 55 North Temple Street, and no appointment is needed.
And the First Universalist Church of Auburn will hold its annual gingerbread fair on Saturday from 9 a.m. to 2 p.m. The fair will feature a variety of items, including gift baskets, books, collectibles, baked goods, and a silent auction. A hearty lunch with gingerbread dessert will be served from 11 to 12:30 for only $6.
Are you a gingerbread fan?
I love gingerbread.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Like the cookie or the actual gingerbread?
Yeah, whatever it takes.
All of it.
Put it in my face.
All of the above.
Yeah.
Put it in your face.
Right on.
Got it.
Yeah. How about you guys?
I can't really say I've had gingerbread, to be honest.
Really?
Yeah. I'm just a cookies guy. Straight gingerbread cookies. That's
cookies.
It.
Cookies.
Okay. Gingerbread cookies.
Do you like to make the little men?
I used to when I like actually did a lot of like the fun Christmas stuff on like the houses and stuff, but you know, not so much. Not so much anymore.
See, now my kid is 21 and insists that we still do a gingerbread house every year.
Yes. Yeah, I wish. No. We don't have that.
To?
Yeah, we don't have that time at Christmas time anymore back at home. So yeah, it's not as fun anymore.
I think before you guys head out for the break, you should have a gingerbread house decorating contest.
Aww. My family does that every year, actually.
Do you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Awesome.
I decorated a bunch of houses, won a lot of times, by the way.
Nice.
Can't say I've ever ate it.
Okay.
I never ate gingerbread.
Okay.
So.
Yeah.
How's your pumpkin carving game? How'd you do with that?
Bad. I thought I was solid, but I mean, we give Dawson Anderson the win, which is a joke. But I mean, whatever. I think it's. I still did a pretty solid job. I was happy with my pumpkin.
Right. I think we need to deliver a bunch of little gingerbread houses to the Nords and have them do.
That'd be
some
great.
Decorating for us.
Yeah.
I think that'd be fun.
Yeah, we'll sponsor it.
Yeah.
It'd be fun.
It'd be fun.
What did your pumpkin look like, Dante?
Mine had like the ghost face on it, which was straight off YouTube shorts. I saw it, Bob. Like, I can do it. So I had to draw it out and I carved it out. I thought it did a great job. But yeah, you know, obviously I didn't get to come away with the win. Actually,
one
of our
fan votes.
Yeah, no, I don't know if I did, but I know one of our housemates, Aiden Farrow, I think he got like third place or something, which I was fired up for him. So
yeah, Aiden's great.
He represented.
We've had Aiden on the show a couple times.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome.
Yeah, good kid. Ryland, what was your pumpkin?
Oh, geez. I think it was just a smiley face. I mean, that was probably, this year was probably the first time I've carved pumpkin since I was about 8 years old. So,
A little out of practice.
Just a
little. The gingerbread house's experience, not the pumpkin carving.
Okay. All right. So that's your game then.
Yeah.
That's where you're going to shine.
Just waiting for Christmas time.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Sounds good. Let's take a look at the weather.
Weather?
Rain or shine, it's all okay. Grab your uke and start the day. You don't need perfect skies above. Hey, just a song and a little love.
Anyways.
It's my favorite part of the show.
When I say weather?
Weather?
With a question mark?
Yeah.
Well, today's weather's not so bad. It's sunny with a high of 42 and a low of 23, which I think you said, your car told you it was 21 this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty chilly.
It is the season.
It is. A mixture of sun and clouds for tomorrow with a high of 41 and a low of 25, and partly sunny on Friday with highs in the mid-40s.
In sports, Jaylen Brown scored 29 points and Peyton Pritchard added 22 to lead the Celtics over the Brooklyn Nets 113-99. Boston will host Brooklyn on Friday night.
And the Bruins are out west. They'll visit the Anaheim Ducks tonight at 10.
The NA3 Nordiques and the New Jersey Titans will play this afternoon at 3 p.m. in New Jersey.
And Army Nordiques will hit the road to take on the stinking Rochester Junior Americans this weekend.
The Lewiston Maniacs will host Universal Academy this weekend at the Colossae.
I'll be there. I'm doing the national anthem.
Is that for the Alzheimer's Association?
It is.
The anthem?
Yeah.
Cool.
And in high school football, Class C state finals, Levitt versus Greeley. It'll be Saturday at 11 a.m. at Lewiston High School.
And the Patriots visit the Cincinnati Bengals on Sunday afternoon. That's your news, weather, and sports. And right now it's time for the podcast segment that is
Swimming
the Twin Cities. It's time for Famous People Birthdays.
They're famous. It's their birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays. It's Famous People Birthdays.
Let's take a look at FPBs for November the 19th, shall we?
Yeah.
All right. We're going to start off with Jodie Foster. 63 years old today. Two-time Academy Award winner. What are you laughing about?
I was going to just waiting to see if you were going to have me do the voice.
Oh, what voice?
Mister, I don't want to hurt your dog.
But that's not Jodie Foster.
No, but that's her movie.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Jodie won an Academy Award for that movie, Silence of the Lambs. She also won an Academy Award for Best Actress in The Accused. Yeah, Jodie is an absolute legend. One of the best actresses.
Yes, fantastic.
Of our time. Speaking of, Meg Ryan.
Oh, another one.
64 years old today.
Yeah.
I think she became nationally famous for her scene in When Harry Met Sally.
Yes.
In 1989.
Yep.
When she faked climaxing in a restaurant. Was it Rob Reiner's mother who played the character who said, I'll have what she's having?
Yeah. Yes.
There you go.
Yeah.
She was also in Courage Under Fire and You've Got Mail.
Yeah.
Addicted to Love.
Don't forget Sleepless in Seattle.
Sleepless in Seattle.
That's like, that's the one, right?
Yeah, a couple of legends right there. Jodie Foster and Meg Ryan.
Yeah.
Media mogul Ted Turner, 87 years old today.
Wow.
Ted took over his father's billboard business in 1963. In 1970, he purchased his first television station in Atlanta. And 10 years later, he founded CNN, the first 24/7 news network.
Mm-hmm.
Whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, opinions vary.
Yeah.
He also turned the Atlanta Braves into a nationally popular franchise
by
broadcasting all of their games on his own station, TBS.
Yep. Yeah, Turner Broadcasting System was like one of the top in our household.
Yeah.
Like, they had everything. Wasn't he also married to Jane Fonda?
Sure was.
I didn't know this. He created the animated environmental-themed television series Captain Planet and the Planeteers.
Yeah,
do you remember that?
I do.
I'm Captain Planet, he's our hero. He's going to take pollution down to zero.
How's that going?
I don't know.
All right. Get back to me.
I will.
And rounding out FPBs for November the 19th is TV talk show host Dick Cavett, who is 89 years old today.
Mm-hmm.
Look at the list of people he's interviewed.
I know. Legendary.
Yeah. Groucho Marx, Katharine Hepburn, Betty Davis, Woody Allen, George Harrison, Jimi Hendrix, Muhammad Ali, Kirk Douglas. He's
Yeah. John Lennon and George Harrison alone.
Yeah, absolutely. There you go. Those are your FPBs. Impressive. Now it's time for some OTDs.
It happened on this day. It happened on this day. It happened on this day.
I think they like it.
That just happened.
I think they like it.
Love it. That was cute for sure.
That's all Mark.
That's what happens when they leave me home alone with the microphone.
Yeah, he's allowed to play. So. 18 years ago in 2007, Amazon introduced the Kindle.
Oh, that was a big one.
Yeah, and Books Everywhere went, oh, no.
Yeah. Remember, I had to get one for Sherry the first year it came out.
I received one as a gift, and I didn't use it for like a full year. And then I picked it up one day, and I was like, what's this all about? Yeah. And I realized that it was kind of cool. I still love books. 19 years ago in 2006, Nintendo released the Wii console.
Who could forget that?
Oh, that was so much fun.
And you guys were just born at that time, right? 2006?
I still had a Wii, though, growing up.
It was revolutionary, where you like actually had to get off the couch to play these games.
Yes. Yeah, they had the pad on the floor where you could play tennis or golf.
It was good stuff.
Yeah, it was fun. 21 years ago in 2004, Ron Artest and Steven Jackson of the Indiana Pacers charged into the stands and fought with fans during an NBA game in Detroit.
That was known as the Malice at the Palace.
Ah!
And there is a great ESPN documentary about it. I think it's a 30 for 30.
28 years ago in 1997, the world's first set of surviving septuplets were born to Iowa seamstress Bobby McCoy. She gave birth to 4 boys and 3 girls.
Wow.
That's pretty cool. Right?
Have yourself a day, Bobby.
Yeah. That's the last day that you will ever get a night's sleep.
That's right.
A full night's
Absolutely.
Sleep.
Absolutely.
And 162 years ago in 1863, Abraham Lincoln delivered his Gettysburg Address at the dedication of the Civil War Cemetery in Pennsylvania. It's one of the most famous speeches in American history. It's just 3 minutes long, and Lincoln wrote it on a train.
What a legend.
What a legend.
Those are your FPBs and OTDs for November the 19th.
Whether you want a sit-down meal or a grab-and-go, Pat's Pizza in Auburn offers delicious sandwiches, pasta, salads, and pizza at family-friendly prices. Pat's Pizza, serving the L.A. area since 1985. Open daily from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. at 85 Center Street in Auburn. Online at patsauburn.com.
Hi, it's Donna Harris from Phoenix No Limits Karate here with your daily safety tip. Always keep at least a quarter tank of gas in your car at all times. Let's all do our best to keep our community safe.
Now, we shift focus fully to our guests in studio, Maine Nordiques forwards Rylan Oster and Dante Rodriguez. And let's just get this out of the way, guys. What the heck happened last weekend against Maryland? That was rough, right?
It was. Maryland is a really good team this year. I think when we look at it, and definitely in our minds, we think that the East Division Finals to go to the Robertson Cup and back to Blaine is going to be us two teams. So we just got to kind of handle our business, and we'll be ready for them come playoff time.
They're very physical, and they take a lot out of your body, like when you're playing against them. So you know we're definitely getting better though. So I think that in due time we'll get them when it matters. So I think that's something to look forward to.
Maryland is comfortably in first place right now in the East Division with 38 points, and the Nords and the Generals and Rochester are tied for second.
They're all right there.
Each with 26 points. And then you have New Jersey and Johnstown back there with 25 points. It is going
right
to be
on your heels,
It's a log jam right now. So the next kind of couple weeks are going to be huge to kind of sort everything out, because I think you look at our schedule, we're playing Rochester this weekend, then we have the Generals for 3 in a row who are tied with us.
Yep.
And then I think we have Johnstown.
Johnstown.
So we're playing a lot of good teams in the next couple of weeks.
Absolutely.
It's going to be big.
Dante, how did you become a Maine Nordique?
So I've known Skrillick for a long time. I played for his summer team called Coach's Choice for a couple of years, and we're always like a really good team. And we had a lot of fun, and all the guys on that team were all just good kids, and we all gelled together really well. And then it came down to where he was calling me and asking if, you know, this would be an option for me. And I told him, of course, like I'd love to come up and play. And yeah, I went through like the whole main camp process. I was, like other guys on the team, I wasn't drafted. I wasn't tendered. I was just a free agent coming into his main camp. And then eventually training camp. it was just really over the phone, and that's how I ended up in Maine.
And you've played most of your career close to home, right?
Yeah, so I played my first years really just like 5 minutes from my house in Wayne, New Jersey for the Hitmen.
Nice.
And then after that, which is actually kind of surprising, I made the jump. I went to Connecticut to play for the Connecticut Junior Rangers for 2 years. And then, yeah, the last 3 years I played for the New Jersey Rockets, which is a big competitor to Dylan Chabrier's club team growing up, the Long Island Gulls. We were a big rivalry growing up. So,
right.
Yeah, I know him and his boys won a national championship, which kind of hurts now thinking back at it. But
yeah,
it's one of his proudest moments.
Yeah, no, for sure. That's a huge accomplishment.
Does he throw that in your face every now and again? Or?
Not really, because I'm pretty close to like the kids on his team, too. So. Yeah. They're all really good kids. Again, I've nothing bad to say about the Long Island Gulls at all. They're a great program and great kids, but no, it was a huge rivalry. We probably played each other 8 times a year for 3 years. Like, it was crazy how much we played each other, but yeah, they usually got the benefit of the doubt between us. But no, yeah, it was still really fun, and I really enjoyed my experience.
I was traded here this summer from, I was on the Fairbanks Ice Dogs last year. Mm-hmm. So I split time last year. I started my year in Calgary, and then I ended up in Fairbanks. I believe I made that change in January. But before that, I was playing in Sioux Falls, South Dakota for about 3 years, which is about 3 hours from home. It's not far, but I was living in a billet house. And before that, yeah, I always played at home. I mean, I originally grew up out on the West Coast in Portland, Oregon area. And then I moved to Minnesota when I was in seventh grade. So kind of played at home until I was about a sophomore in high school, and I believe this is my fifth or sixth year away from home now. So,
and how did you become a Nordique?
After my season wrapped up in Fairbanks, it came pretty abundant that I didn't really feel valued there. And I didn't want to go back up there and spend another year where I didn't feel like, you know, I was wanted. And so me and my agent decided that it was probably best for me to make a move. Mm-hmm. So we called the coach and said, hey, I think, you know, we would like a trade. And they were okay with that. He called me back probably a couple weeks later and said, hey, the Maine Nordiques have put in a generous offer that we want to take. Would you be willing to go to Maine? I talked to my parents for probably about a day, and then we called back and we said, yeah, absolutely, we'll go to Maine. Yeah. So that's how it kind of all went down, and it's been a great decision. I've loved it here. So,
how would you assess this season so far?
It's hard to judge so early, right? We keep saying early, but we are a third of the way through the year. I think that this is a super, super promising group. I think we have everything we need to go make a good push at this. And now it's just kind of figuring out and gelling and getting everybody on the same page still. And I think once we do that, we're gonna be taking off in strides and leaps and bounds. So
Dante, pretty accurate assessment right there.
Yeah, 100%. I think that our group, not even just as hockey players, but even as just guys in the locker room, like, it's really like a family in the locker room. And I genuinely love the boys on the team. So I think that plays a huge part in your success down the road. And I can even say for myself, like, this is my first year playing junior hockey, and it's definitely an adjustment to make coming from playing midget hockey to junior hockey. And it's, but, you know, obviously after time, when you get more adjusted and acclimated with a new level, and especially for the young guys, I know they're going through the same thing. I think, you know, over time we're going to be so good. We have such a good group this year, and we have all the tools to really make a run at this thing. So I think that, yeah, we'll be just fine.
Can you talk about that adjustment a little bit?
Yeah. So midget hockey isn't as structured. It's more, you're able to do more of it's more free, but at the same time, it's also obviously not as fast, not as physical. There's a lot of skill involved in midget hockey, but you know, here you got all of those things. You have the skill, you have the physicality, you have the speed, and I'm one of the youngest guys in the team. So you're playing against guys who are older than you, rather than mostly kids your age. So that's definitely an adjustment. But I think, yeah, just adjusting to systems, adjusting to the type of schedule. I know Ryland's actually helped me with like 7 p.m. games used to be a big issue with me at home, because I used to always play around 8 a.m. 12. You know, in the afternoon, 5 at night, never really 7 o'clock at night. It was always a different time. So I think just he was always telling me, like, you'll find your routine. So don't stress out about it too much. You know, throughout the season, you'll find your routine and you'll be able to play. So I think I've been performing a little bit better ever since I got a little routine going for myself. So
sure. Yeah.
Just need a nap in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah, that's a problem though. Yeah. That's a problem. I'm not a big napper. That's the issue. It's hard for me to try and fall asleep through the middle of the day. But no, I've definitely been finding my routine, which has definitely been helpful.
Ryland, you mentioned you've been away from home for, what, 4 or 5 years?
Five or six, yeah, something like that.
5 or 6 years. Wow. And so you guys are living with the Billet family in Hollowell. What's that like for you, being so young? And what are you, 19?
19 now, yeah. I mean, it feels very normal to me. Like I said, fifth or sixth year now. But it's definitely an adjustment. It's a ton of fun, especially when you get to live with your teammates. It's such a cool experience. You have everything you need. All the tools are there for you. Your billets are there to support you. If you want to, you know, go sit or be alone and you need some time to yourself, you have that. If you want to go hang out and be with your buddies, you have that there. And so it's kind of really, to me, the best of both worlds, right? You get that balance of I want time to myself and I want to do things with my buddies. So it's perfect.
I still can't wrap my head around the idea that you guys just leave home.
Yeah, for me it's been harder.
Like,
yeah.
No,
it's definitely, I think, because obviously he's been doing it for a while. For me, this is my first year away from home, but I think our billets are great. Like, Mel and Dave are great. They're always there making sure you have everything you need. And, you know, I'm always calling my parents anyway. I remember thinking, like, oh, my gosh. I keep seeing people like, yeah, I call my parents every day when, you know, they're not living with them. Like, dude, there's no way I would call my parents every day. Like, there's no way. Like, now I can't get off the phone with them. Like, it's crazy. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, my son is an hour away at college, and I see him all the time.
Yeah.
Like, he can't stay away from home. And he's 21 years old. Like, he doesn't even know how to make a grilled cheese sandwich. Yeah. I don't know how you guys do it.
Yeah. Are you picking up life skills? Like, cooking, cleaning, things like that?
Okay.
A little
he's
bit.
He's a veteran
a
in the
bit.
Game.
Yeah,
I know.
He's a veteran. He's been doing it.
Not as much anymore. I mean, when I moved, I was 15 when I first left. Yeah, I picked up a lot pretty quick. Yeah. I grew up pretty quick. But I feel like now it's kind of just, again, a routine, the same, right?
Yeah.
So,
can you make a grilled cheese sandwich?
I can make a pretty mean grilled cheese sandwich.
Okay, all right. Okay.
Grilled cheese sandwich, eggs, and cereal are pretty dialed in on my end.
All right.
It's a good
you're
thing
doing
you got
good.
That cereal dialed in.
Yeah, yeah.
Get that right
ratio.
You
get that box open. Yeah. I don't know. Sometimes if you open the box wrong, all the cereal falls down inside the box behind the bag. So, listen.
And too much or not enough milk totally ruin it.
Ruin your day.
Always extra milk.
Yeah.
Right? Ruin your day.
What kind of cereal? What are we talking here?
Yeah.
Oh.
It's say Lucky Charms.
No. That's it really depends. At Mel and David's, it's a lot of Cocoa Krispies, some Frosted Flakes maybe. At home, Cinnamon Toast Crunch or Reese's Puffs are kind of the go-to.
Oh, yeah.
That's like a bonding experience for the boys at home. Like, I'm not a big cereal guy at all, so I don't really eat it, but that's like a thing. Like, yeah, let's go get cereal. Like, let's go down now. Like, let's go. We got like four guys just going to town on cereal.
For me, cereal is not like a breakfast thing. Cereal is
it's a nighttime delicacy.
Exactly. Yeah. A bowl of Lucky Charms when you're sitting on the couch watching a movie or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Dante, are you a breakfast guy?
So usually with me, I like in the summer I didn't even eat breakfast because I just didn't eat that much in the summer. I'd always just kind of eat like one or two really big meals during the day, but obviously here I need the energy. So in the morning I always just stop at Dunkin', and that's just I get something quick. I don't like to be heavy after breakfast,
right?
So I just got like today I had a bacon, egg, and cheese, and then I got coffee, and then that was it. Like that's usually my morning breakfast. So it's nothing ever crazy.
So what's the schedule for you guys this week? When do you board the bus to head to Rochester?
We will board the bus tomorrow morning and head that way. I don't know if we're going to skate before or not. I hope we do. I always like skating and getting your legs moving before you get on a bus for 8 hours. So we'll do that, and then we'll pull into Rochester tomorrow night, and then we'll morning skate Friday before the game, and then we'll roll.
And we always like to ask the Nords how they pass time on the bus.
Yeah, what are you up to?
Yeah, what are you doing, Ryland?
A lot of phone time, if I'm honest. Sometimes a movie. Usually it's my phone, or I'm going to pull an eye mask over my eyes and try and sleep.
Are you watching Reels?
Oh. Yep.
Yeah. You got it. That's a must. You got to send the reel to like a boys in the back and just hear it.
Just wait for them to open it and read it.
A lot of that.
Yeah. No, I'm more of a YouTube guy. I find it hard to sit and watch a movie for a while. Like, I've just always been that way. Like, movies are kind of hard for me. That's probably because my brain always just jumps, and it's hard for me to just sit and watch the same thing for a long time. But yeah, I watch a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of stuff like that. It's like, very rarely a movie. Sometimes it'll be a documentary. And then, I'll play some Clash Royale with the boys. That's a big thing. Play Clash Royale on the phone with the boys. That's always a big pastime.
Mm-hmm. I'm not familiar.
It's like, it's
a phone game. It's just blown up. I mean, I've been playing it for probably 6 or 7 years, but like, it's just blown up this year, and like, we'll have times where there'll be 10, 15 guys on the team all playing each other in a game.
Huh. It just gets competitive. It just gets the competitive juices flowing. So it's, I think it's good. It's good for us. Good exercise. I know my mom's always telling me to stay off my phone, but I'm like, Mom, I'm just competing. No, like
it's part of my training.
I'm interacting with my friends.
Yeah,
that's right.
Who was it that had the hoodie with the eye mask in it? Somebody was.
I don't remember.
I have seen those actually. So, I think my mom texted my girlfriend once. And was like, I want to buy that hoodie.
Yeah. One of the guys on the bus has one.
Is travel the worst part of playing hockey?
For me, it's getting dressed. I hate getting dressed.
Really?
Putting the gear on is the worst for me. Like, I'd rather do an 8-hour bus ride than have to put my gear on. Like, it's just, I hate putting it on. I actually don't know what it is. I don't know what it is. I hate it. Like, it's just, it's terrible.
How long of a process is that?
Well, just like for me, it's always more because I have like issues with my feet and I have to tape it up and stuff. So it just takes a while. And I'm like, oh my God, like this is brutal. But obviously, I love being on the ice. It's just like getting dressed is bad. But, yeah.
At least you're not a goalie.
It's OCD right there.
It's OCD?
It must be. I don't know. I don't have a problem
getting dressed. I hate getting dressed.
I don't think the travel's that bad, though. It's bad if you make it bad. But like you're with 20 of your best friends, 25 of your best friends. Like you guys will find stuff to do. Like I said, you just got to find the silver lining in it all, and you got to have a positive outlook on it. And like I said, like actually being on the road, I love. Like when we're at the hotel with all the guys, it's just us. Nobody's going anywhere else. We're all kind of together all weekend. I think it's a blast. But the bus rides are not, again, they're not fun.
It's a necessary evil.
Right. You have to do it. When you travel to, not obviously it's a little further for Ryland, but like when you travel down to New Jersey, do you get family members, friends?
Oh, yeah, of course, yeah. So when we go down there, I'll have a lot of people coming to watch. And I know kids that, like, my friends will be there, too. There's a lot of kids that I know that play in that area. So it's it'll be a good time. I'm really excited to be back home and just be back in Jersey, maybe get, a bacon, egg, and cheese from back home, something like that, you know, get acclimated to New Jersey again for a little bit.
Do you have a favorite deli for your bacon, egg, and cheese?
Yeah, see, that's tough because that's such a big thing back home is like your deli. So I went to school. I went to a private school in Morristown called Del Barton, and there's a place by Del Barton. It's called Wicker Basket, and they used to make like these Taylor ham, egg, and cheeses. If you're ever in New Jersey, you got to get one. Like it's a Taylor ham, egg, and cheese. That's like the breakfast sandwich. So if you've never had it, I'm telling you, if you're ever in that area, like it's life-changing, 100%.
All right.
Dante, tell us about your best moment on the ice.
Yeah, I think it's pretty easy for me. So, again, Del Barton. So, I used to play club hockey and high school hockey at the same time. So, I played for my high school last year, my senior year. We were the best team in the state. And, you know, I think that just, like, playing with kids that you even go to school with, like, that's just such a cool experience. It's like your classmates you're also sharing the ice with. And we really just had such a tight-knit group, such a tight family. I have a Hall of Fame coach behind me, Bruce Chattel. He's our baseball varsity head coach and the hockey varsity head coach, literally just an all-time coach. It has to be winning the state championship. Like, that was such a cool experience. You're in front of thousands of people. You know, you got your entire school there, the opposing team's entire school there is our rivals. And it was definitely a hard, I would say, 48 hours for me. So I had a practice the day before for my club team, and I got injured pretty bad, and I didn't think I was going to be able to play. And I got to, you know, my coach, I called him, I called Coach Attell, and I explained to him what happened. And immediately he had a doctor at our high school practice later that day waiting for me. His name is Dr. Carmen Romano, and he's been nothing, you know, short of, you know, spectacular for me, this guy. Like, he was taking me in. He was doing like these leg compressions, these stretches, these stims just to get because I hurt my knee pretty bad. And he was ensuring me that I'd be able to play the next day. And I really didn't believe it. And he made me believe in me even before I believed in myself to play the next day. Like, that's now a mentor that I have. Like, I've still been doing my recovery with him, but he, like, without, you know, those things going on for the state championship, I would have never known him. It just shows that, you know, it's mind over matter a lot of the times. Like, I really didn't think I was going to be able to play. still played. I was able to make an impact on the game. We won the state championship, and that's one of the coolest experiences ever, being able to, you know, hold that trophy above your head in front of all those kids you go to school with and all those, you know, fans all throughout New Jersey coming to watch you play. So that was, without a doubt, you know, a cool experience. And then even giving a hug to my parents afterwards, like, you know, I really did it. Like, this is, you know, well, we really did it. This is such a cool experience. So definitely won the state championship. Was an incredible experience for me. So, yeah.
Nice.
All right. Rylan.
Oh, I don't know that I could give you one moment. I mean, it's just been such a long journey. And, I mean, I can definitely give you a couple, right? Like, playing my first game in Fairbanks. My mom grew up in Fairbanks. My uncle ref those hockey games. You know, my aunt worked for the Ice Dogs. My uncle's actually in the Hockey Hall of Fame up there. So, I mean, like, that was such a surreal feeling for me to have, you know, my grandparents. My mom was at my first game. She flew up there. I live with my aunt and uncle. So to play a game there in front of all of them, all my cousins, I probably had 20 family members there. That was really cool.
That's awesome.
Another moment for me would have probably been my 18U year. We ended up winning a Tier 1 championship that, you know, we snuck into play. We were the last team to make playoffs, ended up winning it all. I got my look at a junior team in Calgary, and they offered me a spot for next year. And especially on a team where I was, you know, I was picked to be one of the leaders of that group and to lead that group to something that, you know, nobody around, I wouldn't say outside of, nobody outside of our locker room thought we could do. Mm-hmm. Was really, really cool. So I would say those two moments are probably the most kind of rewarding and surreal moments that I've been a part of.
Rylan, has anyone ever told you you have an old soul?
An old soul?
Yeah.
I've never heard that, no.
You have such a solid head on your shoulders.
Thank you.
You're really dialed in. You got an old soul.
Thank you.
I think being away from home for five or six years matures you more rapidly.
For sure. It definitely makes you grow up pretty quickly, you know, realizing that it's on you to kind of get your stuff done and definitely a lot more responsibility.
Rylan, what do you love about this game?
Oh, so much. Just how I would say rewarding it is. There's so much reward, and it's never easy. It's never been easy. It's never going to be easy. It's harder now than ever to be successful, to get where you want to go. And so I just think, you know, chipping away at it every day, and there's so many lessons to be learned along the way, no matter what happens to you, that I think for me, I got one more year after this, and then I have my college hockey career. Yep. And I think for me, looking back on it at the end of it, is going to be, you know, where did I go? What did I get to learn? What did I get to see and experience? I just think the life experiences are going to be amazing and set me up to be super successful in life. So I'm excited for that.
Great. Dante, what do you love about hockey?
I love how fast and exciting it is. I think anyone you talk to, they say that hockey is just such an entertaining sport to watch because you got – it's one of the fastest games on 2 feet, and then throw in the fact that, you know, they're trying to score, and then there's other guys trying to hit you, and it's, you know, it's, there's physicality, there's fighting, and I think all those things are so exciting about hockey. And like Rylan said, there's so many lessons to be learned, and there's so many friends that I've made, and so many people and places that I've got to see, and people that I've got to meet that I would have never had that opportunity without hockey. And just the fact that, you know, my father was such a huge hockey fan, and seeing his, like, admiration for the game just made me want to play it, you know, even more. And, yeah, it's grown me so much closer to both my parents. And, you know, I think it's been nothing but, you know, spectacular for me. I've loved every moment. And even the bad moments, there's always something to learn from it.
I've always felt that hockey players are the best athletes. Is that fair?
No.
Okay.
I disagree. No? I disagree. Maybe me, but in general, probably not, no.
No,
I've met some hockey players who are really, really good, who if I threw a football at them, I'm like, how are you even good at anything?
Well,
remotely?
That's just catching a football. That's not...
But, oh, like just their mannerisms. I think football players are better athletes, to be honest.
Nah, no.
Yeah, I would disagree with that.
Or swimmers?
I think swimmers? On a level field, football players and hockey players could be equal, but football players can't skate.
Yeah, I was going to say,
it's a
skill you can learn.
No, I feel like you put a hockey player in a football game, he's doing better than a football player in a hockey game.
I agree.
Yeah.
No, I think I agree with you. I think that I think hockey is one of the hardest sports, so I 100%.
I would agree with that.
Well, yeah.
I think it's one of the hardest
sports. So that makes you one of the better athletes then. It's got it.
Yeah.
But no, I think martial arts is like also, you know, very hard. Like MMA, right. like that's got to be up there too. So I think those two are neck and neck with each other as far as difficulty. So yeah.
I just I've always thought that because every time I watch hockey live, I'm like, you got to be in some kind of shape.
I'm not saying you have to be fit, athletic, right? But I just think there's more like, obviously you're more athletic to play hockey than you are to play baseball.
Sure.
But I just think there's definitely sports where I look at those athletes and I'm like, they're a different breed of human. Yeah. So
there's so much going on the ice though, too. That's the other thing.
It's a chaotic sport. So.
It sure is.
Super chaotic. Like it's already hard, and then you put skates on.
Yeah. No. Exactly.
It's already.
I agree with you. I think it's definitely makes you one of the better athletes in the world. It's a very hard sport to be really good at. So
yeah,
100%. Yeah. I agree.
Who's the best chirper on your team?
Oh,
do we have a best? We do definitely have like guys who chirp the most.
The best.
I'm talking about creativity.
I'm trying to think.
I'm talking who makes you laugh with their chirps or go, ooh, that was nasty.
I think when I see Aiden Farrow chirp, I tend to laugh. Yeah, because he chirps a lot. Yeah,
Farrow's pretty unique.
Yeah. Okay.
Like I'll kind of watch him and I'll ask what he's saying. And it's just unique.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of times when you're going back and forth with the guy and it's pretty bland. But if they can really pick at you, which he does a great job at it. It gets a chuckle and sometimes hurts their feelings.
Oh, no, Luke Gallo, too. That just rung a bell. No, Gallo's actually funny if you listen to him. No, yeah. Luke Gallo, we're not bigger guys, you know, me and Rylan, but Gallo's around our size, too, but he's, like, a little fearless, like, pit bull. Like, he just goes out, like, he's chirping guys twice his size, trying to, you know, poke guys, start firing them up. No, he's funny. The stuff that he says actually gets me laughing during the game sometimes. So I got to give him credit where it's due.
Do you guys have any particular favorite chirps that you've heard throughout your careers?
Not off the top of my head.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, my favorites I can't say, so.
Right. Not appropriate.
I could censor them.
Yeah. No. I can't. It's an in-the-moment thing for me. Yeah. Yeah, so I don't know.
I mean, like, the most of them, like, for me, that really get me are just whenever I hear someone, like, picking at the way they look, like, their nose, like, I've called, like, beaking at their nose or something like that, like, that's what always gets me.
Yeah.
If someone calls you just straight up ugly, it's like, what do you even say back, you know what I mean?
I am not.
I'm not either.
Right. Sometimes the best thing to say is nothing.
Yeah.
That's what impacted me. I remember at 18U, I was chirping this kid who was like, you know, one of the best kids in the country for our age. And he just looked at me and looked away, and it was like demoralizing for me. I was like, are you serious? Like, I thought that was hilarious. I just poked at something personal with you, and you don't even acknowledge it. So yeah, ever since then, I've taken that into my game. I don't even like talk back anymore. I just kind of look at the kids and skate away because I know I know how that feels, and it's not a good feeling.
All right.
Yeah.
Taking the high road.
That's right.
That's it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Sarah and I, we'd learn new hockey terms every week when the Nordiques came in.
We made up some.
My favorite one still, and I think Ocean Fancy told us this one. It's grocery stick.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, so brutal, right?
Dante doesn't know
that
one.
You don't know that one?
No. It's when you split, like, you're like the 13th forward or something like that, and you just split the D in the forwards. You don't move.
You're like a grocery stick on the conveyor belt.
It's my favorite.
Yeah. Oh, that's mean.
I've never heard that. I've been checked out. That's a good one.
It's a good one.
It's not bad. All right, guys, we have a segment called Scouting Reports. So what we're going to do is we're going to pretend that Sarah and I own a hockey team, and Rylan, you are our star forward, and we're looking to get you some help on your line. And we're looking at this Dante kid. What can you tell us about him?
I can tell you off the ice, he's very funny guy. He's very outgoing. He always, for the most part, seems like he wants to be around the boys. He's very dedicated as well. Yeah. I would say but about his game, like, he's a very unique player. He works his bag off. I don't think he's really ever been entitled to anything. As far as I can see, I think he's worked for a lot. He's very creative. He's not afraid to use his creativity. And when he's confident, he's really, really good. That's what I would say.
All right.
Nice.
Thank you.
Good guy off the ice, too. Fun to hang out
with. He's okay.
Yeah.
He's
okay. We'll leave it at that.
Yeah, definitely. All right. Definitely look at a locker room guy for the other forward on my line.
Right. Gotcha. All right. Dante, You're our star forward, and we're looking to get you some help, and we're taking a look at Rylan, and we know you've played with him before. What can you tell us about him?
I'll be a little more complimentary about the off-ice. I think Rylan's great off the ice. You know, we get along really well. He's a very competitive forward. I think, like, things that go unnoticed about his game is just, like, how much he actually competes in, like, the small battles and corners and stuff like that, where a lot of people will have that go unnoticed. But I've noticed that about his game. Like, he's really good with the battles and really good with competing hard. And, yeah, he's really good at making plays. He's able to set up his line mates a lot, and he also gets open into soft ice areas, which, you know, he's getting into scoring areas. I think that he's overall just has, like, a really good motor, and he's just a high-energy guy, always making sure that we're always going, and he leads by example. So he's never going to try and tell you to be like him, but he's just, you know, going to show you that, like, this is how I'm going to compete, and it's up to you if you want to be like that or not.
You guys are very complimentary of each other. Before we get into three random questions, best hockey movie of all time?
That's undisputed, right?
Miracle.
Miracle. Yeah. Yeah. Second best hockey movie of all time.
Oh, is that what everybody says?
Yeah. Pretty much.
I don't even know. I mean, I think the Mighty Ducks will probably come up a lot too, right? Yep,
they do.
Yeah.
Mighty Ducks and Slapshot.
Mystery Alaska.
Oh, that is a good one. Yep. Everyone forgets that one.
Yeah.
I'm more of there's a hockey show called Shorzy.
We're familiar.
Yeah.
I think.
We know Shorzy.
I think even, what's it called? It's better than Shorzy, the new one. Oh, Shorzy. No. Yeah.
Oh, you're thinking Letterkenny.
Letterkenny.
Letterkenny. Yeah. Letterkenny's fit.
No, I think Shorzy's hilarious.
Yeah. Oh, talk about chirping.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. That's, my gosh, dude. That, again, like I said, like, I'm not a big movies guy, but I would watch Shorzy even just with my buddies, and, like, I'm not even kidding. Like, it's all time. Like, the memories I have with just me and my buddies watching Shorzy just dying laughing at that show. Like, it is such a funny show.
Next year marks 30 years of Uncle Andy's Digest. What started as a beloved print publication has grown into Lydia Media, a full-service marketing partner helping local businesses thrive. From LA Metro Magazine and the Lydia's Lunch Bunch podcast to social media management, website design, and advertising across all platforms, we've got your marketing needs covered. If you're a business making a difference in our community, let's connect. Lydia Media is here to tell your story and help you grow. Lydia Media, in business, for business. Learn more at lydiamediallc.com.
All right, guys, time for three random questions, and these are questions that have nothing to do with hockey. We're just trying to get to know you a little better. Rylan, if you weren't playing hockey, what would you be doing with your life?
Oh, I'd probably be in school right now.
What would you be studying in school?
Oh, yeah. Business and finance or aviation.
Both interesting.
I don't know yet. I think probably business and finance. I do have that desire to be a pilot. My grandpa's a pilot. He's a private pilot.
Yep.
He owns his own plane up in Alaska. I've always kind of been interested in that aspect of it.
That's cool.
Dante, what would you be doing?
So I just had time to think about it. And this might come as a very big surprise to most people that know me who are listening. Because on the ice, I'm not like a fighter. But I think that being like a UFC fighter is one of the coolest things in the world. So, like, that's what I would have been shooting for, I think, if I wasn't playing hockey. Because I trained MMA this past summer for about, like, 4 months. I did, like, some things, like, years prior to, but I think, like, that's got to be one of the most, you know, to be a UFC champion is one of, like, the highest achievements you can have. Mm-hmm. And I think it's so hard, but there's so much to learn, and it's always changing and evolving. So I think I would have been shooting for that. And, yeah, I don't really know. I don't think much about what I would, like, you know, what else I would be doing. So I think if anything else, it would definitely be that.
We have to start with Dante this time.
All right.
Okay. Can you make any animal noises?
Oh, no.
And if so, what one?
Oh, no.
And an example.
Yes, please.
An example?
I can play an example for you.
No, I'm just kidding.
I have Sarah growling like a cat. So this is kind of what she's looking for.
What?
That's not bad.
Thank you.
It's not
like,
bad.
It sounds like our cat at the house.
Yeah, it does.
Yeah. Oh, man, that was funny.
Yeah. Animal noises. Mm-hmm. What can I make? I mean, I think I'm pretty talented with my vocals. Like, I could have been a voice actor, too, I feel like. I think I'm pretty good with my changing up how I sound. Animal noises. Like, I don't know. Maybe a dog. Oh, one that I used to do, which just to get the boys going, was a walrus. But I don't know.
Come on, do it.
Oh no, should I do it? You want to do it?
No, I'm not doing it. I was gonna say a bear growl. Like I practice my bear growl in the mirror.
Okay.
I'd have to. I can't give it to you though, because
come on,
I gotta act it out. I can't do it right now.
Yeah, it'd be like the embodiment of the bear.
Yeah, I gotta be feeling
bear growl.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I don't know.
A walrus and a bear.
Uh-huh. There you go.
All right.
I've been told I'm a pretty good walrus, so that's why.
What was the one that I did? That was an ostrich? Was that what it was?
I'm not sure.
What does an ostrich sound like?
I can't remember. Mike Emery was with us.
I mean, I could moo.
Go, do it. Do it.
Ooh. There you go.
That's
very good. That's solid. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's good. Another question?
I'm going to print something out for Dante because he wants to be a voice actor, so I'm going to have him do our closing.
Oh, you're going to do some reads for us.
There we go. Okay.
Okay.
Is that cool?
Of course. Moving up in the world.
All right. Ryland this time. Ryland, you are presented with a time machine. You can take one round trip. Where are you going and why?
I would like to go... I don't know that I can give you a specific place, but I would like to go kind of like that 70s, 80s area.
Mm.
Era. I would go probably 80s. Where was the spot to be in the 80s?
Oh, the 80s were great.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Like, well, was it California yet?
Yeah,
was
California,
it Florida?
New York.
Yeah.
Vegas wasn't quite there yet.
Yeah. Mm.
I don't know. Probably sometime in that time frame, I'd like to kind of go. I'd definitely go for a night out in the 80s and just kind of see what that was all about.
It was pretty cool, yeah. Especially if you like music.
Mm-hmm.
Mm,
yeah, for sure.
That's right. 80s
music was incredible. All right, Dante, time machine, where are you going?
I know it's a meme on the internet about people who think about the Roman Empire.
Oh, that's a good one, too.
I am so convinced that if I was back there in time, I would have conquered that Roman Empire and been the freaking the emperor. I'm telling you, I've thought about it, knowing what I know now, going back in time, I would have conquered it. I would have been the Julius Caesar, but you can give me whatever Roman name you want. I would have been that guy back in the day, I'm telling you. So that's where I would definitely go, because that was such a cool time in history, and it's really fun to learn about.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things, modern days that you learn just from the Roman Empire, so I think that would have been really cool.
Yeah, that's definitely one that's high on the list, too. Yeah. Or like go to the Colosseum.
Yeah. Yep.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
What that must have been like forever ago would have been so cool.
Yeah.
I think you have a past life that you need to explore.
No, 100%. maybe I am like a reincarnated emperor, but I'm so convinced I would have been able to do it.
Some hypnosis is needed.
Of course.
Yeah. Would you be called Dante the Great?
Yes.
Oh my gosh.
Whatever. Something like that. They already call me that. I'm not even an emperor yet.
Oh, yay. Filling his head. You're filling it.
Right?
Ryland's not going to be able to live with him after this.
Yeah, I don't know who they is, right? But nobody I've met.
Who has the best nickname on your team?
I call Ryland Bear. I love it.
Ryland Bear.
Ryland Bear. I'm the big nickname guy, so.
Yeah?
Like most unique nickname. Who's a unique?
Like Brady Frank, I call him Brady Dissery Chicken.
That's a weird one.
That's big country, right?
Yeah.
That is big country.
Yeah, that is big country.
Brady Dissery.
Yeah. I would say it's all pretty much last names for the most part, I think, though. Yeah.
Like little plays on the last names.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
No, yeah, I usually have I always come up with some nickname for guys. I don't know. It's like my thing. I don't know.
Well, guys, it has been a ton of fun. Thanks for stopping by this morning.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Spending some time with us, and best of luck this weekend in Rochester, and we can't wait to see you back on home ice.
Appreciate it. Thanks for having
us. Yep.
All right, Dante.
Thanks to Rupert's Beverage and Redemption and DeBloy Electric for sponsoring today's episode. If you would like to be part of the Lydia's Lunch Bunch advertising family, reach out to Pam Ashby via email at pam@lydiamediallc.com.
Perfection. Have a great day. And remember, don't bite your cat. And I will say, I have bitten my cat.